The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came in, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. From St. Mark's Gospel, when he had entered the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. 36 years ago this summer, towards the end of August, I was just about finishing up my second year of parish service in rural Pennsylvania, north of Philadelphia. It was a mid-Friday afternoon. My wife and two kids were on their way to a church camp in the Poconos. I was scheduled to conduct a wedding rehearsal that evening with the wedding the next day. Then I would head out to help with the church camp Bible studies. At the moment, I also had a bishop sitting in my living room staring at me. Now, everything was okay. Bishop Larry Hand was one of the very, 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 very few bishops who actually visited his flock on a regular basis. And we were discussing the future of the congregation. The congregation was contemplating separating from the arrangement it had with a Reformed congregation since 1742, believe it or not, the phone rang. Now, when I was, working, that word in quotes, I would always ignore the phone and conduct whatever business was at hand. But, sometimes the phone has a troubling ring to it. And so I excused myself and answered. It was my sister. Dad's aneurysm burst, and he's in the ICU. Things aren't looking too good. Well, 2 minutes later, I asked the bishop to leave. It's the only time I've told a bishop what to do, and to get coverage for me, which he was gracious enough to do. 3 minutes later, I was booking a flight from Newark Airport to Portland, Maine, and by 3 a.m., I was in the IC unit. My father lingered for a few days, but after several massive heart attacks and kidneys that shut down, we decided to pull the plug, which was his wish. I mean, we didn't do this on purpose, which we did. So he didn't live for more than a few minutes after the plug was pulled. Now, even though I had done a hospital chaplaincy one summer, served as a third-year seminarian in another parish, and had conducted several funerals the past 2 years of serving that parish, this was the first actual death I had experienced. I did have a couple experiences. My third year in seminary, I went to visit three people in the hospital who immediately died as soon as I left the room. I didn't know what to make of it, but I know the parishioners who I visited after that for several months would grab the sheets of the hospital bed and try to cover them whenever they saw me walk in. Well, anyway, let me get back to what I'm supposed to be saying here. This was the first actual death I had experienced. It was unnerving because I didn't really know what to expect. But over the following years and decades, I was present when congregants and extended family members died. Lastly, I was with my mother just 2 years ago when she died, so there was for me a completion to that circle of family life. But we pastors just don't stand around by the bedside when someone is close to death. If we are contacted in time, which more often than not doesn't happen because of circumstances beyond anyone's control, there is a wonderfully powerful rite called commendation of the dying. Prayers are said for the individual about to breathe her or his last. For me personally, the most profound moment is when I lay my hands on the dead of the dying. Child of God, go forth in the name of God the Father Almighty, who created you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who redeemed you. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out upon you. May you rest in peace and dwell forever in the paradise of God. Amen. And the next action is the last breath of the person. We lay our hands upon those being baptized. We lay our hands upon those being confirmed. We lay our hands upon those receiving ashes in Lent. And the last touch is when we finally and lastly commend our sister or brother to God. I just can't express how powerful these words are at such a deeply emotional, personal time as this. But our words pale in comparison to the two words Jesus spoke to the dead girl, daughter of the synagogue leader Jairus. Jairus too begged Jesus to come and lay his hands upon the girl, trusting that this renowned teacher would save her from certain death. To no avail, Jairus is notified that his daughter has died, to which Jesus responds, Do not fear, only believe. At times when I am in the presence of death, there is a profound, prolonged silence among those gathered as we try to take in what has happened. That's our way of coping. In the ancient Near East, professional mourners would gather and make the commotion that Jesus remarks about. It was, and perhaps is in some areas, the way people cope with death even today. And they would know exactly what death was like, life being far more vulnerable back then. Therefore, they laughed at Jesus. Talitha cum. Jesus says just these two words to Jairus' daughter. Talitha cum. Cum, arise. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought of the hymn, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. And I imagine that is how he called the little girl, Talitha cum. Each one of us has experienced the death of loved ones in our lives, whether that be family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and such. The generations rise and fall, and we are an inseparable and inescapable part of that movement. But each one of us has also experienced the death of other things in our lives, personal to just to us. The loss of dreams, of relationships, of health, of material security, the loss of reputation, the loss of hope. To be human is to experience the highs of life, which are often devastatingly leveled out by the lows. And it is exactly at these times of distress that we need to hear the voice of Jesus softly and tenderly calling us. Last week we heard the voice of Jesus calming the waves and the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Thus does Jesus, our Lord, calm the storms in our lives by the command, peace, be still. Today we hear the same Lord and God calling to the girl, cum, get up, or arise, or more accurately, be raised. Because the same word, get up, or arise, or be raised, is used when Jesus is raised from the dead. He's not just telling the little girl to get up out of the bed, but this is a model of how we can be raised in this life. For we too can be raised from the distress of our lives by heeding the voice of the one who says, peace, be still, and be raised. As St. Paul reassures us, resurrection is also in this life, even if we don't experience it in its fullness. The dramatic story of Jesus responding to Jairus' request is interrupted by the briefer story of the woman who suffered for years. It's the one time in the gospel account that the flow of a story is interrupted. So it has a particular meaning set within the Jairus story. He said to the woman with the hemorrhages, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. The woman demonstrates the faith we are called to have when hearing the voice of Jesus, coming with empty hands before the Lord, knowing that all we can offer Jesus is our hearts that trust his voice. This is the same faith that Jairus had, casting his fears on Jesus. But there is yet one more thing that the story of the woman with the hemorrhages offers us. Daughter, your faith has made you well. It can also mean that her faith has saved her, because the word Jesus uses has that double meaning, well and save. You see, the faith that Jesus time and time commends is just this, trusting that his word is truth and that the word can change our lives, giving us hope and meaning even in the face of death. Amen.